Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches. I'm your host, Ned Erbar, and we got a show for you. This episode, it's all about going back to school, where so many of TV's best dramas and comedies have taken place. And to make it extra on brand, one of our pitchers is actually an 11-year-old middle schooler. Here's how the game works. Our four pitchers present their best worst ideas for a school-themed series, then our network executive judges will confer and eliminate one pitcher from the game. But instead of going home, they're getting promoted and will serve as a judge for the rest of the show. In round two, we'll throw a surprise game at the remaining pitchers, then our judges will eliminate slash promote one more contestant before we send the final two to our lightning round. After that, one lucky pitcher is crowned the winner and goes home with a special school-themed surprise. Pitching this week are Rod Boston Mayer, Julia Young, Luke Stark, and Peggy Yazd. Our network executive judges are Kotla McGlynn and Matt Lee. This episode of Bad Pitches was taped in front of a live audience at Crystal Lake, Brooklyn.
We're going to kick things off with one of our favorite pitchers, Rod Boston Mayer.
Thank you so much. Sorry to start this off on a serious note, but this show is about how our American education system is broken. Common Core has come to try to help math into the future, to help children understand math better, and famously, the Advanced National Association of Language have stepped forward to really make us find a new way to learn language. So this show is a docuseries that will run for about 2,100 episodes as we follow the first class to ever graduate under the Advanced National Association of Language. The show is called Kids Love Anal. I know what you're thinking, that no one wants to watch a show about education, and it's true, but this show will actually expose the undercurrent of our education system that makes it that the failure to promote anal in our schools is the reason that our world is the way it actually is, in a way. Every week we'll have a celebrity proctor that will grade the students' tests. Chrissy Teigen, Guy Fieri, the Babadook, those are two different people. And in our finale, the one and only Wiz Khalifa and Lea Michele together at last. The show will see as these celebrity coaches try to get these children ready for this really intense test by grabbing them in the shoulder and saying, "You're doing anal," which is famously a really powerful way to make sure that children are bravely ready for the education system that awaits them and eliminate self-blocks. This show is going to give us an insight into the world that awaits us for our future. Thank you so much.
Judges?
Wow. I'm blown away. You did a lot of name dropping. Everything from Chrissy Teigen, Wiz Khalifa.
Yep.
I am just like, I'm starstruck.
Everyone who I want to see doing anal.
Exactly.
How do you visualize casting for this, for the kids at least?
I think that the best way to go about it would kind of be to do random casting where we really just kind of grab the kids and bring them into the classroom and then really just kind of keep the show going for whatever amounts to 2,100 episodes.
Yeah. The
Maybe
van
like
method.
With a van.
Yeah.
It would be perfect to just definitely shove them in there.
That's actually where like the talking head interviews will be inside of the
van. Oh, the confessionals.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, other than a million questions about what the Common Core is, I think that I have enough information. Thank you.
Thank you guys for supporting this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. All right, Rod. All right, our next pitcher is another returning champion, Julia Young.
Thank you. You've heard of Saved by the Bell, but have you been saved by the bell? Jerry Falwell Jr. and Justin Bieber's Church Hill song present a Hallmark Channel sitcom, Saved by the Bell. The Bayside Gang is back, and this time they're not getting A's, they're getting praise on to God. We have Kelly Kapowski and Zach Morris going at it, strong, practicing the kind of sex that everyone should practice. The only safe kind of sex. Say it with me. Abstinence. A.C. Slater, more like J.C. Slater. He's not walking onto the football field. He's walking on water is the physical epitome of Jesus Christ. Jesse Spano, famous nerd. She's so excited. She's so prayed. And Screech? No, no, no. I'm sorry. He's not on this show. We do have a character named Preach. He spends most of his time trying to save Mr. Belding's soul from going to hell. Now, as a Jew, I admit I don't understand a lot of this. Which is why I will be an executive producer and not a showrunner. So save your soul, save your Thursday nights, because it's Saved by the Bell in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy School Spirit. Thank you.
Wow. I know. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I have always seen Mario Lopez as a Jesus figure, to be honest.
Yes.
So just to clarify, the name of this show is still just Saved by the Bell, but it's like Saved by the Bell.
The word saved will be in italics.
Okay. Because our lawyers will get on us if we just call it Saved by the Bell.
No, it's absolutely italicized.
Okay.
Okay.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for this because we could really tap into the red market that we've been trying to get in. So I think that there's tons of sponsorship opportunities. Do you have any, like...
Oh, yeah, the MyPillow guy.
Oh.
I see as being very interested in running all of the ads. Definitely Glenn Beck and Gold. Just gold as an idea.
Yes, Gold is a huge
we
client of ours.
We love gold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Kelly and Zach, you said abstinence.
Only.
Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but in our business, sex sells.
In TV?
I know it's a shock. What are we doing with the, you know, how are we making that happen with an abstinence plot?
Oh, I got you. So something big that I would say Jennifer Aniston popularized in Friends is just showing hard nipples in every scene, just erect nipples. So we could do that with Zach and with Kelly. So I feel like that, you know, it shows sex, but you're not showing sex. We can also do gray sweatpants on the men, you know, little DP dick print, right?
I guess my final question is, you know, there are some people who are just like all up on the separation of church and state. And this is a public high school. How are we getting around the fact that, like, prayer isn't allowed?
Yes.
I think it would be said in Alabama.
Oh, perfect. So that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Would there be any anal?
Well, that's a tie-in we would have to work on if there was to be anal. But I would love to see Zach and Kelly doing anal.
Thank you,
Julie. Thank you. All right, there you go. Okay, we're going to keep things rolling here. So we thought because it's back to school, it would only be appropriate if we had someone who's actually in middle school pitch. And also, we're not above weird gimmicks. So coming to the stage, a young man who is in sixth grade and has already done more stand-up shows than I have. So here is Mr. Luke Stark.
I'll just start. Middle school teacher Gus Beefer, played by David Schwimmer, thinks he's landed the job of a lifetime. But little does he know that Westminster Academy is actually a school for dogs. And not like the cute, adorable dogs that, like, you love and you want them to matter. They're the mean, feral dogs who have rabies, mange, I think that's how you pronounce it, hot diarrhea. Any disease you can think of, they probably have it. Gus also butts heads with the stern principal of the school, Dr. Henry Schnauzer, played by Senator Chuck Schumer. And adding to Gus's problems, these dogs just won't stop fucking each other. How long will Gus survive? Will he and Principal Schnauzer ever get along? And will these dogs ever stop fucking each other? David Schwimmer and Chuck Schumer, the dream team at last. Coming this fall, screw the Pooch Junior High.
We'll buy it.
Honestly.
We'll just buy it.
Signed, sealed, delivered. Just, yes.
This is a great pitch.
Yeah.
You like, nailed it from David Schwimmer.
Yeah, who's been begging.
He's been begging like a dog.
I cannot.
He won't stop calling us. Yeah, he just wants the show. I mean, first of all, great pronunciation of mange.
And Schwimmer.
And Schwimmer. And all of it.
Do you have contacts with Chuck Schumer? Have you already negotiated this role with him? Are you writing it with him? What's the deal here? I mean, that's a big get. That's a big get.
Yeah, we spend like all of our budget getting him to come. So we're gonna be filming in two different locations.
Oh.
One is the back alleyway of an Arby's.
I think I've been there.
We've both been there.
And Uganda.
Oh.
Okay. I have heard of it.
Yeah, haven't been there yet.
And how are we going to supply the feral dogs? Do you know where we're going to get those?
Mm. Oh, yeah. We're not using any dogs. We just made a bunch of sock puppets.
Oh. They're having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we added stuff to... We added junk.
Will there be... One point of clarification. Is Dr. Henry Schnauzer also a dog?
Oh, no, it's Chuck Schumer.
I know, but like...
Oh, you know that trailer for the Cats movie?
Oh, yeah. Do I?
So we did that, but with dogs.
Oh. Well, yeah, say no more.
Just for Chuck Schumer.
Just Chuck. Are you a fan of David Schwimmer?
No, I have not heard of him whatsoever.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Just wanted to check that.
He's the only actor we could find.
What's, like, how many episodes do you think you see this being?
Well, we're kind of working this out with the production companies, so probably from 500 to 600 episodes, maybe. We're also including a spin-off show in the DVD version you can buy called The Schnauzer Files. It takes place, like, in the 60s when Chuck Schumer was younger, and the CGI, we spend a lot more money on the CGI. Doesn't look any better, but...
I think I get what Matt was saying in that if we were to turn Chuck Schumer into like a CGI dog...
Or we could just put some ears on Chuck fucking Schumer.
Or let's just do that. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Good fucking job. That was great.
Good fucking job, kid.
Yeah.
Luke Stark, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and now to close out round one, it's Pega Yazd.
The school for middle-aged people who sustain some form of traumatic brain injury in high school, causing them to permanently believe they're still in high school, is just like any other school. This CW teenage drama features an ensemble of 45 to 60-year-old characters going through struggles all young people can relate to as they navigate this new world of gym class, oral sex, and 50 First Dates style memory loss. After all, what youngster doesn't wonder why they're starting to sprout bristly ear hairs? Or why all the calendars say 2019 when it should say 1989? Watch the drama unfold as we find out why Brad hasn't asked Becky to the prom yet, or if Jody will ever pass her driver's test, and why Stacy's doctor keeps telling her she needs to start taking calcium supplements because she's premenopausal and osteoporosis is a major risk for women over 50. And no teenage drama is complete without some teen pregnancy. At the School for Middle-Aged People Who Sustain Some Form of Traumatic Brain Injury in High School, causing them to permanently believe they are still in high school, former cheerleaders will wake up one day and realize their boobs have sagged and they put on 30 pounds. Will Amy figure out that she had brain damage as a result of an unfortunate water skiing mishap, causing her to live in a Groundhog Day-esque hell every day for the rest of her life? Or will she just assume she's yet another victim of the teenage pregnancy epidemic sweeping the Reagan-era America?
Wow.
You say that after everyone.
It's part of the business. So, first of all, I'm really interested in just hearing your ideas of, like, who you want to cast.
Definitely someone, like, old as shit and, like, desperate. So, like...
Wait, so old as shit, we're talking 45 to 60.
Yeah, old as shit.
Okay. So, it has a very long title.
I thought about shortening it to Traumatic Brain Injury High, but I just don't know if that flows off the tongue as well.
The main thing is, like, what are they learning?
Can they learn?
It's not that they're learning. It's more of a form of hospice care. They're
for 45 to 60-year-old people.
Yeah, they're being... Okay. It's less traumatic for them to just go into a high school as they believe they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Is there anal.
Was there anal in the 80s?
Oh, yes.
So these are the students we're talking about that are 45 to 60. Yes. What are the teachers like? Are the teachers
they're
like
hot 100? And in their 20s?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not even old enough to be out of college.
Can you name any 22-year-old actors? Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish. She looks exactly like all teachers look.
Okay.
Well, I think we have enough info. Thank
I think that's
you.
Great. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Pega. The nurses will be by to take you back to your room later. So. Okay, now it's time for the toughest part of the show. Judges, do you know what we're doing here?
This was incredibly hard. It took us literally hours to decide.
I remember.
When we got to thinking, we realized the pitch about traumatic brain injury was the one that should be promoted to the executive team.
Oh my God, welcome to the executive team!
All right, and now it's time for round two. We're going to be playing a very special game in honor of the theme of Back to School called Passing Notes. So our pitchers are going to come up with another school theme show to pitch, and then I have this stack of random suggestions that I will keep passing to them as they pitch, and they have to incorporate them into their show. All right, Julia, would you like to go first here? All right, here we go.
Thank you. It's a very simple show. Felicity Huffman stars as a desperate mother who will do anything when the boys' soccer team vanishes. So, as a member of the PTA, she has to make a decision about how John Travolta is behind everything. She starts investigating. She has some anonymous sources. She goes all Aaron Brockovich. And it turns out Scientology is behind everything because Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith started a Scientology high school that they tried to pretend wasn't a Scientology high school that is set in space. It is based on a hit Danish series. It's called The Mom with the dragon decal on her SUV. And yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. So Felicity Huffman will be the mom with the aforementioned dragon decal on her SUV.
Yes.
Now, Scientology, hot button issue.
Always.
So, you know.
Is there a comment on that? That's just what you want.
I mean.
I have a question. Is Felicity Huffman available?
In 2 weeks, she will be.
And you think she's going to want to, like, immediately just jump right back into a
Well, I don't think she
project.
Would be paid for this, so this would count towards her community 250 service. Hours of community service.
I just want to address the elephant in the room. You said this movie is set in space.
Oh, so. That's the elephant?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like technology, you know, Elon Musk and such as Grimes. And so
So you feel confident we can make it happen in space for under budget?
I mean, I think if he can run Tesla pretty well, and I think he has, then...
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Luke, you got a show for us?
Have you ever wondered how people are so good at doing TED Talks? I bet you haven't, but now you are. They learn from the TED Ed Special Academy. They don't have a lot of teachers since no one has ever heard of this. So the Board of Education is cats, so they asked who would be good teachers. And they said, meow, which roughly translates into Roombas. So now we have a janitor and a teacher. Oh, wow. And a major thing that the TED Ed students learn is that bullying's cool. You're encouraged to bully. Not the best school idea, but it's TED Talk.
Yeah, it's great. Honestly, I love the idea of a TED Ed Special Academy. What do you like about TED Talks? Is it the little microphones or is it the long-winded diatribes?
Oh, no, I just like the color red.
Now, you mentioned cats and Roombas. Mm-hmm. What kind of cats do you think we should have on the show?
Oh, we're going to have, like, the overfed cats that are very furry. So, like, so the only way they can move around is on a Roomba, so.
Thank you, Luke.
I did not see any of that coming, even though I wrote all these notes. Last one up for round two, Rod, what do you got for us?
Thank you so much. Okay, this is an HBO prestige drama starring Shannon Elizabeth and a very confused Malala Yousaf as they realize that everything they're experiencing is happening in a home ec class that they are locked inside of. Shannon Elizabeth knowing it's a show and Malala Yousaf not knowing what's going on until Shannon looks at Malala and says, "You're hot," and gives her a nerd girl makeover where she takes glasses that Malala is actually not wearing and ruffles her hair a little bit, and Malala, again, really just doesn't understand what's going on until they realize that it's actually Columbine, and they are in lockdown in home ec class, and this is extremely triggering for Malala because she realizes that she might be pregnant. There is a pregnancy scare and Shannon realizes she's gonna put their differences aside. It's a hip hopera, thankfully. At which point Shannon Elizabeth breaks out into sort of like a hip hop, one person, no music, a cappella, hip hopera, and again, Malala Yousaf is just really unclear about where she is or why this is happening to her until Shannon kind of like pulls her out of the room into a haunted girls' locker room. This is the pilot for a show in which Shannon and Malala are actually exploring a haunted girls' locker room. So this is Malala and Shannon Ghostbusters on HBO. Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify, the name of this show is Malala and Shannon Ghostbusters on HBO.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, actually, both of us have the same question.
We're the same age.
Who is Shannon Elizabeth?
Wow. Interesting. So it's incredible that you're echoing one of the key narrative arcs for Malala's character as she tries to figure out not only where she is, but who this woman named Shannon Elizabeth is and whether she's responsible for this home at Columbine performance art piece.
Yes.
This is an immersive piece.
Yes. I love the layers. Like, I'm seeing ghost hunters. I'm seeing survivor stories. I'm seeing a romance.
A romance between who?
Shannon Elizabeth.
You don't even know who she is.
I'm assuming he's very handsome.
Okay. I just want to point out that I wrote down three things. Okay. I wrote down Columbine, I wrote down pregnant, and I wrote down hip hopera.
Yes.
Pick one of those three things to elaborate on.
In a way, they are all part of one moment, but I really want to make sure that we understand that the most traumatic thing Malala is experiencing is Shannon Elizabeth sort of doing this, like, direct eye contact sort of, like, hip-hop
moment. She's, like, stepping.
Who do you envision writing this hip-hopera?
I really just want an authorial stamp, so this show screams Shannon Elizabeth to me. Really, fingers crossed that she'll just be showrunner, writer, lyricist.
They are literally Googling her right now.
I love Shannon Elizabeth.
So does America.
She's really peak Columbine era, really, to be honest.
Right. Well, thank you, Rod. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
We just had a conference, and we've decided to promote young Luke to the judges' booth.
All right, go. Congratulations.
Your pitches were amazing, but we think we need you to help figure out this last round.
Welcome.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Luke.
Luke, that was fantastic. How does it feel to be an executive? Oh, awesome.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Today's Bad Pitches commercial break was submitted by Eric in Jersey City. Parenting can be so difficult, mostly because kids, they just won't listen. If your kids are giving you too hard of a time, ask your pediatrician about KidZap, the child behavioral collar. Using the same technology that morally questionable dog owners have been employing for decades, KidZap lets you tell your kids it's time to get in line and stop mouthing off, without ever laying a hand on them. KidZap, making the world a better behaved place one kid at a time.
Julia, Rod, if you'll join me up here. So this is the lightning round where I basically have put upon you the terrible task of telling the executives what shows they're going to be on their network, because they have greenlit a slew of shows just based on the title. They have no idea what they are. So you're each going to get five titles, and you have to tell us as fast as you can, like, what is this show? Julia, I'll have you go first. So your first show is hot or not for teacher?
Great. So this is Mary Kay Letourneau, and she is hosting a show, and what she gets to do is she gets a bunch of 13-year-old boys, and she has decided she's going to fuck them or she's not going to fuck them. Spoiler, she fucks all of them.
I feel that resonates.
Don't write that down, Luke.
Rod, tell us about the TV show Group Project.
So Group Project is, of course, a missing persons show. As we all know, every group project involves someone absolutely not showing up, conceptually or literally. So this show is all about the person who's not showing up literally. It is a murder mystery show.
Julia, tell me about the new hit series, Homeroom Makeover.
Sure. So the woman, Paige from Trading Spaces, OG, she has no money. So she hosts a show where basically the Queer Eye guys, because they're everywhere, come in and turn a sad homeroom into like a happy one, and then, you know, tell the backstory of the homeroom. And at the end of it, my mom cries because that's what she does at the end of Queer Eye.
Yeah, I like it.
We love a crying moment.
Rod, tell me about Lunch Ladies Who Lunch.
Lunch Ladies Who Lunch is like a Real Housewives show that involves hot lunch ladies as they have their drama weirdly during lunch. So there is a line growing in the back, which is part of the tension of the show. As they sort of throw drinks on each other and say, "Don't talk about my husband," the twist, no one's married, which is cool, actually, progressive. And it really is all about the inner drama and inner turmoil of being a lunch lady. And there's only two, so, yeah.
Julia, tell me about the new show, Extra Credit.
Okay, great. So this is obviously porn, and it involves Mary Kay Letourneau, who gets a bunch of 13-year-old boys, and she decides who's hot or not, and she's gonna fuck them. It's spoiler, she fucks them all.
All right, I feel like that's a reboot, but I'm gonna go. Okay, Rod, your next one is The Teachers Union.
The Teachers Union is an animated show starring every teacher weirdly in the country doing voiceover work in a show that is plot-wise impossible to decipher and voice acting-wise really loud. They are all talking at the same time. Yeah, that's the whole show. Yeah.
Julia, you got two more. Your second to last show is Woodshop.
Great. So this is a show starring my dad, who, since he retired, has gotten really into woodworking. And like late at night, I'll be like, I'm like home and I'm like, "Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing on YouTube? Are you cheating on mom?" But he's just watching YouTube videos of woodworking. He made me a jewelry box.
Aw, that's really sweet. Okay, Rod, your second to last show is Detention After Dark.
So Detention After Dark is definitely a really serious drama starring Patricia Heaton and T.I. as two hot public school teachers who are in charge of all the kids whose parents do not pick them up, as they have to take care of them all night during a lockdown. The whole show takes place over a single night and leads to Patricia Heaton and T.I. finally hooking up, which is...
Julia, your last show is Undercover Principal.
So this is a very literal show where every week a principal of a public school goes to an IKEA, and you know how they have those beds set up? They get literally under the covers of the bed. And when, like, kids, like, sit on the IKEA beds, like, in the store, they jump out and they go, "Boo!"
Thank you, Julie. Okay, Rod, your final show for the night is, tell us about CSI Hogwarts.
So CSI Hogwarts takes place at a crime scene that was formerly a Harry Potter cosplay, in which real-life CSI people try to understand what could have possibly been happening in this room before the crime, using as hints wands, robes, lots of blood, and really sad, like, fake spells, like, written on parchment paper that's been teabagged to look really old. And
judges, you need a minute.
Yeah, I wanna start out just okay. Julia, are you okay? You good?
Yeah, my dad's fine.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned Mary Kay Letourneau like a bunch.
Just twice.
Why are you so inspired by her?
Well, I think she has a story to tell. As a former teacher who fucked one of her students. So I guess I'm invested in that show, just from a standpoint of I never had sex with one of my teachers.
Luke, you got some questions? Go ahead.
So why is she specifically fucking 13-year-old boys?
Because that happened. Luke, that happened. It's a real lady. She fucked her student.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the undercover principal. Is this a prank show? Because I feel like that... Prank shows already had their heyday, and I'm not sure I'm...
Oh, no, no, no.
Convince me, you know?
No, no, it's not a prank show. The principal yell, boo, and that's it, really. I mean, you might get a, you know, but not prank-based.
So it's less than a prank show.
It's more of like
show.
Like a gasp statement show. Does that make sense? It's like post... Yeah. It's post-prank.
Whole new genre.
I really see this as like a Snapchat show.
Yes.
If they're still doing
Snapchat,
those.
TikTok.
Moving on to Rod.
Oh, yes, please.
You mentioned the show Teachers Union has no plot.
Famously, yes. Yeah.
So I guess there's really nothing else to ask about it.
Bravely, no.
Cool.
I love it. Is the lockdown in Detention After Dark during Columbine?
You know, it is sort of an homage to Columbine, and it is part of sort of like a growing televisual cinematic universe in which multiple stories are taking place during Columbine.
Got it.
Love it. Which is just really lighthearted and I think fun.
Luke, any questions for Rod?
No.
Perfect.
Love it.
All right. After an offsite in Santa Barbara,
yes.
Where we took a whole weekend retreat.
Oprah came to talk. It was nice.
Yeah, it
was great.
A lot of team building.
Luke was there.
Luke, did you enjoy the retreat in Santa Barbara?
Yes, very fun. We went into a river.
They shouldn't let the kids have alcohol at these things, but you know.
But we did.
Like, who are we to judge, though? You know, I mean, we're judges, but who are we to judge?
Literally, your job.
Okay. So listen, we had to take a lot of time with this, but after much deliberating, we've decided tonight's winner is Julia!
Julia!
Woo! Rod, thank you for playing.
Wow.
Julia, tonight's prize for Bad Bitches Back to School, the prize is the lessons you've learned and the friends you made along the way.
Oh my God. And we're all looking forward to the Felicity Huffman project.
Thank you. It's called Shameless.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning into Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and look for new episodes every other Monday. If you like what you hear, tell your friends. We do get so desperately lonely. And if you've got an idea for a Bad Pitches commercial break, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Bad Pitches TV, and we just might include yours. I'm your host, Ned Arbar, and this has been Bad Pitches.